Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Let's open our Bibles, beloved saints. We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Esther. How many of you are excited, Esther chapter 9? How many of you are excited about the month of Adar? Put your hand up and say, Adar is this week. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, the month of divine reversal. Ask your neighbor, are you ready for your divine reversal tonight? Hallelujah. How many of you are ready for your divine reversal during this season? Hallelujah. Now we are looking at Esther chapter 9, and we are seeing here in Esther chapter 9, the Bible says, let's go over it in the 9th chapter and the first verse. The Bible says, now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, it was turned to the contrary. Say this with me. It turned. Venahapak. Say this with me. In the name of Jesus, this is going to be the week. I am believing God for my divine reversal, because the 12th month is upon us. Come on. The 12th month, that is a month of divine reversal, is upon us. Can we give God the praise and give God the glory? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, beloved saints, not only was the day turned, but the month was turned. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm expecting divine reversal the whole month. Come on, divine reversal. Say it to your neighbor, Venahapak. Hallelujah, it's going to turn for the glory of God. Every situation, every decree, every stronghold, principality, and power is about to turn this month when Adar comes. Hallelujah. This is what it says in verse 22. After, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, is anybody ready for rest from warfare? How many of you have been in a battle? If you've been in a battle, you better stand up right now and claim deliverance from that battle right now. In the name of Jesus, put those hands up and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, I claim rest from the battle. During the month of Adar, through the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, my Messiah, I claim right now that every divine reversal I need, that God, we're going to have rest. And rest means the war is over. Rest means, God, that what battle I've been going through, God's going to give me rest. Hallelujah. Give God the praise and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Give him the praise and the glory. Amen and amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lift those hands and praise him. Hallelujah. Lift those hands and give him glory. That rest from the battle. Some of us have been in a nonstop battle, and this is the time. Rest means you already have victory over it. Rest means that you're coming out the head and not the tail. Rest means you don't need to carry the burden another day. Rest means that there is a turnaround for you promised in the word of the living God. And we are giving God the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Now, beloved saints, continuing in the context, we see, oh, praise you, Jesus, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies and the month was turned. From a month, the Bible says, from a month of mourning and from a month of sorrow to joy, and from mourning to a good day. Say this with me. That's a major divine reversal. Hallelujah. That it doesn't say the day was turned. It says the month was turned. Say this with me. I'm claiming the entire month. Come on, I'm claiming every promise in the Bible that's mine in the name of Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we see, hallelujah, the Bible is saying, turned from sorrow to joy and from mourning to a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy and sending portions to one another and gifts to the poor. Notice in verse 16, we're going to see also that they rested from their enemies. The other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, and God gave them rest from their enemies. Hallelujah. And notice in verse 17, the Bible says on the 13th day of the month of Adar and the 14th day of the same, rested they, hallelujah, say this with me, they rested from their enemies. All right. Now, I want to explain to you, because most of us know all about the Purim War, but we don't know about Esther stretching it out. Today, I want to speak to you just for a moment about the Purim War itself and how Esther, when she went before the king the third time, she requested that it be stretched out. You know why? Because she had to complete what Saul forfeited. And do you know that Saul didn't complete? So Esther is going to make sure there is not one Amalekite left or any influence of Amalek anywhere in the kingdom. Are you hearing this? Nowhere in the kingdom. She is going to make sure that it's done, even if it means extending the war another day. Are you hearing this? To make sure no enemies of the Jews are left alive. Come on, let's praise the Lord and give God the glory. Now, this is why it's so important, because Esther is going to follow exactly what God has told her to do. She is so careful to do everything just the way the Holy Spirit wants it. I want us to raise our hands that we would be like Esther in all the details that God gives us. That we would do everything just the way the Holy Spirit wants it. That we're not going to do our responsibilities slipshod or do them haphazard, but that we're going to do what God has put into our hearts to do for the kingdom in a most excellent way. Put your hands up right now and say, Lord, tonight I want the anointing to do everything you have asked me to do and to complete it and to bring it all to completion. I want it brought to the furthest reach of its highest destiny. Everything you've ordained me to do will reach the fullness of its destiny that you ordained it to reach. Come on, let's give God the praise and the glory. All right, so now we're going to look first at the second appearing of Esther before the king. We all know the first one. The first one, it only took Haman 3 days to come down. Turn to your neighbor and say, cross and resurrection. It only took 3 days for the embodiment of diabolical evil in Haman. It only took 3 days to bring him down. Come on, let's give God the praise and the glory. And Esther's plan was so subtle and so anointed, but tonight we're not talking about her plan that was completely given to her by the Holy Spirit, because Esther obtained prophecy. She had prophecy. She had wisdom. She had all the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in her life, like Bezalel. Do you remember Bezalel in the book of Exodus? Bezalel was the designer of the Ark of the Covenant. He was the designer of the tabernacle. He was the designer of all the holy things inside the tabernacle. But the Bible tells us he didn't design it by his own wisdom. The Bible tells us, see, I have filled with the Spirit of God Bezalel. And that's in Exodus 31, verse 2. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. This is how Esther's plan was made. Just as Bezalel had to have a plan to make the Ark of the Covenant. How do we know? Because the word makshav is used. Makshav is a word in Hebrew that means, it's taken from chazav, which is a word that means to make a plan. To make a plan to design something, to think it out, to create it. Are you with me? And so Bezalel had to design a plan. The time of Purim is also a time that God wants to give every one of us a plan. God wants us to give us a plan for our ministry. He wants to give us a plan for our life. He wants to give us a plan to bring down the enemy in spiritual warfare. We don't just go to battle. We don't just go to battle against the enemy without a plan. We've all got to have a plan. Hallelujah. A plan of how we're going to pray, a regimen of spiritual discipline that we're going to offer to the Lord as a sacrifice, and we're going to go to war and win the war against the enemy trying to take our lives and our children's lives. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. Say, tonight I receive the anointing of a plan. Just while I'm here, I receive the power of a plan. God, give me the plan, just as you gave Esther a plan. I want a plan right now. If you want a plan right now, and you want the plan of prayer, you want the plan to know what God is telling you about your destiny and about your life, would you stand right now and receive that anointing for the plan that God wants to give you? In the mighty name of Jesus, we claim this plan in Jesus' name, that not one person in this room tonight is going to leave without a plan. God, the plan that comes from heaven, the plan of prayer, the plan of fasting, the plan of gathering together and who you want in the war. God, in the name of Jesus, we claim the plan for Jesus' sake. Now give God the praise and give him the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. So now we're going to look, and if you've been following us in the book of Esther, you realize, how did all this uncommon favor that was given to Esther when she was first brought to the palace? Because the identifying tool of who Esther is, really more than any other person in the Bible, Esther is shown to us with the most times in the scripture that the word favor is used is applied to Esther. So this means she had uncommon favor, not just in the palace with the king, but with everyone. The Bible says Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who looked upon her. So it was a favor, a gift of favor that she had in her life, not because of how she looked, not because of anything in the natural, it's because of her walk with God. Because Esther was so 100% committed with such a pure heart, and she sought nothing but God's will. Are you with me? If you are, say amen. All right. And she desired nothing but the king, not the king on earth, the king of heaven. That was her desire, was the king of heaven. And the greatest desire of her life was to please the king of heaven. Are you hearing me, beloved saints? Turn to your neighbor and say, if you really want favor, follow in Esther's footsteps and desire nothing but the king of heaven. Hallelujah. Can we give God the praise and the glory? Amen. But we see that there was an interruption to that favor that's very unusual and very inconsistent with the flow of the scripture. And that interruption is when Haman came into the ungodly power in the kingdom. And because he came into that place so close to the king that it actually spiritually interfered with Esther's favor, because the power that has been risen up in the empire is power to do unthinkable atrocities and evil against the people of God. Are you following me? And so Esther, being a Jew who's hidden her identity, is not able to say she's a Jew in the palace. And so therefore, beloved saints, this is supernaturally in an unusual sense, in a diabolical sense of supernatural, not in a holy sense. In a diabolical sense, it's blocking the relationship with Esther and King Ahasuerus. This is why she has not been called for 30 days into the presence of the king. But as soon as Esther is willing to lay her life down for her people, and she obeys Mordecai as always she has. And this is the secret of Esther's success. The secret of Esther's success is shown to us through the unusual humility and the unbelievable self-control and restraint that she has to not become vain, to not become self-righteous, to not become selfish, self-centered, or narcissistic. That this unbelievable restraint that she has to walk in the ways of God and to please only the King of Kings. That when she is requested to risk her life and does not want to, but out of obedience, she does what she doesn't want to do. You know, obedience is not always something we want to do. God doesn't always tell us to do things that feel good. Sometimes to do God's will is difficult. It's not that we don't want to do God's will. It's that the thing that's asked of us is very difficult. If it wasn't difficult, she wouldn't have been the heroine that she was. But because it was so difficult, she made a heroic choice that all servant leaders in the Bible make. All servant leaders in the Bible choose selflessness. They don't choose what they want. They always choose at the risk of their own, of what they could have for others. The greatest example of that outside of Jesus is Moses. What he had and what he chose are two different things. He chose to do God's will, and he chose to walk in that humility, and he chose to give everything up as a servant leader for someone else. This is kingdom leadership. God today is looking for kingdom leaders, not kingdom leaders that want to be seen or enjoy the whatever kind of pomp comes from being in a place of influence or a platform of great glory. But he is looking for servant leaders that will lay their lives down for others. And Esther and Mordecai show us the greatest examples of what the Torah teaches about servant leadership. Jesus said, "I am among you," in Luke 22, "as one that serves." Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "The Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So we see kingdom leaders, and Esther is above all a kingdom leader. She doesn't want, not that she doesn't want to help her people, and it's not that she wants to disobey Mordecai by any means. It's that this is so difficult. This would mean giving up everything, not just her physical life. This is why the word avadati is used twice. Avadati means if I perish, I perish. It's used twice because there were two types of death. There was the death physical that she could have easily, because she was not in a state of favor at the time, It meant she could have easily been annihilated. And it also means what she was willing to give up in terms of her title. She was willing to give everything up because she's going to have to present a plan that could risk her own life but endanger who she is in the eyes of the king by her plan. And you see, she's willing to do that because she's totally detached from anything selfish, vain, or self-centered. She is the kind of leader that the Lord is looking for in this end time. Esther and Mordecai are the type of influence, leaders of influence that God is looking for in this hour that will be so selfless that they will become obedient unto death. And this is why Jesus is our example. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, though he was God. The Bible says that he humbled himself in verse 8 of Philippians 2 and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So tonight we can become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we say yes to the Lord, we want to be like Esther. We want to be like Mordecai. Now, if you will allow me for one moment, the Bible is telling us the second time she went before the king, it is completely different. It is exactly 70 days after Haman has been hung. After the first decree, actually, not after Haman was hung, but after the first decree was written. 70 days later, she goes before the king on her own initiative without Mordecai saying anymore, without anything being done. There is still this hanging, even though Mordecai is dead, the decree is still pending. And so on her own, she goes before the king and requests a second time with the king and is going to ask for the reversal of the decree. Let us look at her words, because her words show us how to have successful results in prayer. How many people here want success results in prayer? You want your prayer to produce fruit and you want results. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want results when I pray. Okay, Esther shows us the secrets of successful prayer. How many of you would like to know Esther's secrets to successful prayer? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody should give God the glory. The Bible shows us in Esther chapter 8. Let's look at it just for a moment. Verse 5. And she said, if it please the king. Notice the first supernatural secret to successful prayer is to always pray for God's will. And she said, if it please the king. Second secret of successful prayer. And if I have found favor in his sight. So we're seeking favor from God. Hallelujah. And if the thing seem right before the king. That means, Lord, not only if it please you, but if it's right in your eyes, if it's good for your kingdom, if it's pleasing to you, I don't want to lift one word out of my mouth that is not pleasing to God. I want to be able to even frame my prayer so that it gives God glory, so that he knows the intentionality of our heart is not our own will, but only to get his will and to see him glorified. Amen. And we see the fourth supernatural secret of Esther's. Hallelujah. The success secrets of prayer revealed here in Esther chapter 8. We see the fourth one. And if I be pleasing in his eyes. What does this mean? Why is she saying, if I be pleasing in his eyes? This is so important because Esther had one desire, and that desire was to please the king. And what does that mean? The king of kings, not the earthly king, because notice the earthly king's name is not mentioned here. All she wants is to be pleasing to God. Did you know that when you delight yourself in the Lord and seek only to please him, you don't even have to worry about your prayer request. It will automatically be answered because you delight in the Lord. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, hallelujah, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You're not even going to have to ask for the desires of your heart if you seek only to please God. And pleasing God is the number one agenda of your life. With your mind, your mouth, and your heart, you will automatically receive the desires of your heart. Without praying, he'll just bring it to pass. Are you hearing me? You're going to walk in it. Turn to your neighbor and say, if I'm just busy about the kingdom business, I don't have to worry about the desires of my heart. God's going to flood me with everything I ever desired without even asking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so the king gave permission for a new decree to be written. This decree is going to give the Jews permission to stand for their lives. So that on the 13th day of Adar, when they were going to be utterly annihilated without any weapons to defend themselves, now they're going to be able to go to war. And Esther and Mordecai are calling the war. Hallelujah. And the Jews, number one, are going to gather themselves together. This is one of the great secrets in the book of Esther, why the battle was won so victoriously. Because the people gathered themselves together. We see it used three times in Esther chapter 9. We see it used once in Esther chapter 8. And we see it used once in Esther chapter 4. To gather themselves together means oneness in the spirit. Battles cannot be won without unity in the body of Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, are we all on the same page tonight, or are we doing our own thing? If you really want victory and want to see the enemy overthrown, then join in the battle of the body of Christ. Join in the battle, hallelujah, with one another. Don't try to do your own thing. It's not going to work. The principalities and powers are too strong. But when we join together, nothing is impossible with God. Say this with me, Lord, give us all octoot. Give the body of Christ octoot. Give us all octoot to be joined together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so the battle was won. When the day came, the Jews stood for their lives. And it was a wipeout. I said it was a wipeout. All right. The 10 sons of Haman went down the first day. Say this with me, the 10 sons of Haman. Perpetuating Haman's hate for the Jews. Perpetuating that anti-Semitism. 10 of them. Hallelujah. So though you got rid of Haman, you got his 10 sons. And tonight, God's going to give us deliverance. Hallelujah. Because each and every one of those sons represent a curse that God brought down. Hallelujah. And I believe today, as we begin the month of Adar, God is going to bring down every wicked spirit, principality, and power that has come against God's people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 75,000 actually happened in the next day, but in the first day, let us look just for a moment, Esther chapter 9. The Bible says, looking at verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedata, the enemy of the Jews, slew they, but the spoil they put not in their on their hand. And on that day, the number of them that were slain in Shushan, the palace, were brought to the king. King is just keeping a tabulation because he wants the Jews to win. And here we see, the Bible says, the Jews have slain in Shushan 500 men in Shushan the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. And the king says this to Esther. And he said, what else shall be done in the king's provinces? She knew 500 isn't enough. Hello, I said she knew 500 isn't enough. She said, 500 isn't enough. How many of you want an anointing to extend the war till every demonic spirit, every principality and power is annihilated? You're not going to settle just for the winning of a battle. You want every spirit that's attacked your life, every spirit that's attacked your children, every spirit that's attacked your business, every spirit all the way to the end. 500 was not enough. Are you hearing this? Say this with me. I want supernatural faith during the month of Adar. I want supernatural faith to overcome every wicked spirit, every battle, every principality, every power. It's all coming down in the month of Adar through the blood of Jesus. She's bold. She's not a passive little Esther that we all thought she was. Okay? She's going to go before the king on a third time. And this is where Nevuah comes in. There comes a time when your prayer is so anointed before God that your prayer becomes Nevuah. It becomes prophecy. And now she's going to go before the king a third time after 500 were slain. Ahasuerus thought, wow, she's going to be really happy. They killed 500 and, you know, everything's done. The 10 sons of Haman, it's a wrap-up. But not to Esther. It's not a wrap-up. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not going to be done with my prayer. I'm not going to be done till every spirit is annihilated. I'm not going to allow, in the name of Jesus, any root to lift its ugly head against my family, my children, my business. Hallelujah. It's coming down tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Notice what she does. Ahasuerus thinks she's going to be so thrilled. 500 are slain, the 10 sons of Haman being slain by the Jews is shown to us in verses 7 through 11 through 10. Then it is said again in verse 12. It's repeated twice. The Bible says, the king said to Esther the queen, the Jews have slain 500 men in Shushan the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted to thee. What is your request further? And it shall be done. So this means she entered the king's quarters a third time. Verse 13. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow according to today's decree. And let the 10 sons of Haman hang on the gallows. Now, I want you to know something. Number one, she's asking in a literal sense, tomorrow we need this war extended. It can't end on the 13th of Adar. She knew way off in the provinces that she could not see, way off in the distance, because 127 provinces throughout the land had received the order of the death decree. She doesn't want 1 ounce of anti-Semitism left. Are you hearing this? I said not 1 ounce left. So she's going to boldly use her influence for her people and not for herself. And so she's asking, as she goes before the king, one more day, let it be done tomorrow according to today's decree. And because she's so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that tomorrow not only meant the literal tomorrow, as Pastor Sanjay so wonderfully showed, but it meant off in the future, with a future Haman, with a future 10 sons of Haman, that forever, because her faith was that I'm going to extend this war and there's not going to be one left. But God took it to another level. God took it to the level of the future. That means when we do the will of God and when we're praying prophetically, when we're praying with the Holy Ghost, there are works that are going to be done that are so profound that it will be done exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise God. I want you just to raise your hands for a moment as we close tonight. And on Wednesday night, we're going to cover the 10 sons of Haman in a way we've never done before. Tonight, I'm just going to give you their names and pray that over their names, because in their names represent the destruction of evil. And each one of their names represents the power of God that during Purim, he's going to destroy in our lives. That's why the time of Purim is a time of prayer. It's a time of consecration, a time of separation unto God. For all the warriors that say, this is my season, this is my time. Hallelujah. The first one is Parshandatha. Parson Dot. The word R in Hebrew is related to the word Arar, which means curse. So we see that Parson Dotha, or Parson Dot, actually means the destruction of the curse. In that name, you will see the Hebrew letters for the word Rasha, which means wicked. The destruction of the wicked curse. In the name of Jesus, everyone in this room that has been under bondage in Jesus' name, or has something they're praying for their family, their children, or in generational bondages, anything that's been spoken or decreed, in Jesus' name, we pray that it be broken right now in Jesus' name off of your life. Hallelujah. The second name of the son, second son of Haman, Dalphon. Dalp means to weep. Dalak means to persecute. We break that ungodly persecution that would come against anyone falsely accused in the name of Jesus, those that are following the Lord, that they will walk, even though we will be persecuted for your sake. We break and bind ungodly persecution. Hallelujah. Even, Lord, that we would never come against each other, that we would never be the source of sorrow in each other's lives, because we are believers. We would be the source of strength. We would be the source of lifting up. We would not be the source of division. We would not be the source, Lord God, of tearing down, but we would be the source of building up. We would be the source of strengthening one another. We would be the source of holding up one another. And we break and bind those demonic spirits out now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Give God the glory. And the third son of Haman, Asapata. Asapata is a word taken from inside the name of this word, is the word Asaph. And the word Asaph means guilt. It means shame. Also hidden in this name is the Hebrew word fatal, which means torturous wrestling. Fatal also means fatial, also means to bind or to be crooked or crafty. We break in the name of Jesus every crooked craftiness of the wicked one. He will not have any power over any of God's people in the mighty name of Jesus. Then we see the fourth son of Haman, Parata. And Parata is taken, also hidden in that name is the Hebrew word faras, which means to divide, to scatter. In the name of Jesus, God's people will not be scattered. I break and bind in the name of Jesus the scattering of the sheep. In the name of Jesus, there will be nothing but gathering together during Purim. There will be nothing but gathering together in oneness as we come together and gather ourselves together. We break that spirit off in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The fifth son of Haman, Adaliah. Adaliah is taken from that Hebrew word dal, which means to weaken. Aliyah is the word that means to go up. The weakening a spirit that would weaken you from going up to the next level. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. You will go up. You will make an aliyah to go up higher in the things of God. No wicked spirit is gonna weaken you, so you won't go to your destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sixth son of Haman. Let's look at it right now. In the name of Jesus, Ardata. Ardata, coming from the Hebrew word ar, which means curse. The cursed dot, the irreversible dot, is now reversing. In the name of Jesus, every word, every principality, every thought, every ungodly agreement, because sometimes the dot can come together through two people agreeing in ungodly agreement, through three people agreeing, through the counsel and crafty wickedness. In the name of Jesus, bring it down now. In the name of Jesus, bring it down. We break it up. We expose it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The seventh son of Haman, Parmashata. Hallelujah. Taken from the Hebrew word mashta, which is a military barricade. There will be no barricading against your destiny. There will be no spirits putting a wall up that you cannot get to the place that God wants you to get. Come on, put your hands up. I break that stronghold, principality, and power. It will not come forth in the name of Jesus. And somebody ought to give God the praise. The eighth son of Haman, Arisai, are again cursed, coming from the Hebrew word yasad, which means wicked counsel. I break and bind every bit of wicked counsel that's come into anyone's ears that is not of God. In the name of Jesus, we break it off right now, and the stronghold will not have any effect over your life or your decisions. In the name of Jesus. The ninth son of Haman, hallelujah, Aridai. Aridai, taken from again a curse. And die, radai, is taken from the Hebrew word radah, which happens to mean have dominion. So the wicked dominion is broken right now. There will be no wickedness in dominion in the name of Jesus. We break it right now. The ten sons of Haman will not have any kind of wicked dominion in Jesus' name. We give you glory and we give you praise. And the tenth son of Haman. The tenth son of Haman, Yazbata. And here we see, hallelujah, this word is a very important word. It happens to mean bitterness. It's taken from the word bitter oil or bitter judgment. And there's bitter judgment coming to the enemy. Hallelujah. It can also mean as strong as the wind. And right now, in the name of Jesus, there will be no ungodly storms coming up that are stopping God's people from doing God's will. In the name of Jesus, we break those ungodly storms like your Rokely don't. Break off right now. Stand to your feet and give God praise. This very moment, raise your hands toward heaven. In Jesus' mighty name, God, tonight, there will be a release right now. A release of God's anointing. A release right now in the name of Jesus. God, in Jesus' name. Everyone that's been under this is broken off. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on and praise him right now. Tonight's your night of freedom. Purim is here. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, we are believing God for a breakthrough on God's people as never before. Raise those hands. Raise those hands in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button. Or text to give, text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.